16th chapter of the book of Acts contains a story that I go read quite often. And the Lord gave me a little different slant in reading Acts chapter 16, and I'm going to entitle it Praise Under Pressure. Praise Under Pressure. Anybody should be able to praise the Lord when the sun's shining, when things are going your way, when there's no sickness, when there's no pressure, when everything's just going your way. But in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, the Bible gives us this insight that lets me know because they could do it, we can do it. Hey, if they can praise the Lord in jail, we ought to be able to praise the Lord in church. I said, if they were able to praise the Lord in jail, I think we ought to be able to praise the Lord in church. Acts 16:25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, I love this. Do thyself no harm. This is the language of the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen. This is God's message to humanity. Do thyself no harm. He said, we're all here. And then the jailer called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of God and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all of his, straightway, quickly. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Now this story has a happy ending, but it sort of has a rough beginning. It's one of the hardest things that a minister ever has to explain is why good people go through difficult times. And I've learned a long time ago that I don't have all the answers. People say, well, just explain this to me. I'm not God. Go talk to God. I don't have all the answers. But the Bible tells us that many times good people, God-fearing people, righteous people, born-again people, spirit-filled people go through difficult times. Who could argue the fact that Paul the Apostle probably was, outside of Jesus, was one of the greatest faith men of God in the whole New Testament? And yet there are situations in Paul's life that you cannot explain at the time. You just have to trust in the Lord and know that God's word brings you out. So sometimes bad things happen to good people, or at least it seems bad at the time. But I've lived long enough to realize that when the enemy comes in like a flood, if I can identify him, I'm going to get sevenfold return out of his craziness. And I've proven that over and over and over again in this ministry. Joy and I have proven it over and over again as pastors and leaders of this congregation. You say, well, how do I know whether it's God and how do I know whether it's the devil? Let me give you a quick test of that. Just say whatever is of God. I say, Lord, I thank you that it was going to come out on the high side of victory. And whatever is of the devil, I refuse it. Have no part of it. I receive what is of God. I refuse what is of the evil one. You say that's too simple. No, you're making it too hard. Now, I want us to look at this story very quickly and go to the heart of the matter. Because we're going to talk about praise under pressure. Really, every born-again, spirit-filled child of God should have no problem praising the Lord in church. You have comfortable seats to sit on. Things are usually very conducive to worship. There's a powerful spirit of praise and worship in this house. And you just almost have to say, I just don't want to do it. But as I look at Paul and Silas, the Bible said at midnight. You know, midnight is the acid test of anything. Midnight is the acid test of anything. I remember a few times I was going to pray all night. Started about 10 o'clock at night. Went to sleep before midnight. I remember a great man of God, A. Allen, he said he was going to go into his prayer closet and fast for 7 days and eat no food and pray. And he went into the closet and thought he'd been there for over a day, and he'd been there for 25 minutes. Midnight is the acid test for anything. If you hurt, hurts seem to hurt the worst from midnight till 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. Midnight's an acid test of anything. If you're driving across country, and I've done my share of that, boy, those are strange hours to stay awake. I mean, you see some strange things on the highway from midnight until about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And so at midnight, Paul and Silas were in jail. And the acid test of anything is at midnight. It's really no acid test of your faith in God to praise God in this auditorium or any other meeting. But when you're in prison and your feet and your hands are incarcerated just like your body is, you can't move about, and you're hurting because you've received stripes on your back, persecution for Jesus Christ, and you look up beyond the pain, and you look up beyond the loneliness, and you look up beyond the does anyone out there care, and you say, I'm going to praise God anyhow. I believe that all of heaven stands to attention and said, we've got some good ones. There they are, Paul and Silas. Midnight is the acid test of anything. I've worked the midnight shift. I've worked what they call the graveyard shift in Bible college, and boy, those are hard hours to be working 12 o'clock at night till 2 or 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. But what some people would view as the most difficult time of the 24 hours of the day, Paul and Silas said, we're going to pray and we're going to praise the name of our God. And so as I look at this story, and it's more than a story, it's a real story. Midnight is the acid test of anything, especially praise and prayer. Some of the hardest hours to fill in the power tower are from 12 on, right? For many reasons. But I'll tell you, the devil is up alive and well during those hours. So midnight is the acid test of anything, especially praise and worship. Paul and Silas made a decision, no matter what happens, we're going to pray to our God and we're going to praise our God. We're not going to live by our feelings. We're not going to live by how the circumstances of our life may be. We're going to praise God anyhow. When we understand and when we don't, when we feel good and when we don't, we're going to pray and we're going to praise God. And I tell you, that's a quality decision that when you make it, all of heaven puts you on the chalkboard. Special blessings for this person. So Paul and Silas began to sing praise unto God, and they were praying. It was an intermingling of prayer and praise under pressure. Now, secondly, the continuation of praise under pressure is the secret to breakthrough. Paul and Silas did not start for 5 minutes and stop. They didn't start and say, we're going to try this for a few minutes and see if it works. The continuance of praise. Did you ever notice how Satan will fight you praising the Lord? I mean, your mind will wander. You'll remember that all those things on the list that you forgot to do last week. I mean, you're so super spiritual. I'm going to praise the Lord, and I'm going to praise Him until I break through it. Oh, I forgot this. What about that? Now, why do you think Satan brings all that to your attention? Because he does not want you to continue, because continued praise brings the breakthrough. Continued praise brings the breakthrough. You keep on keeping on. Continued praise is the secret to breakthrough. Well, I'm really going to praise the Lord when my financial miracle comes. You have a long wait. Well, I'm really going to praise the Lord when I receive the manifestation of my healing. I'm really going to praise the Lord when things get better in my marriage. No, you make the decision in the midnight hour, the hour of crisis, the hour of need. I'm going to praise God anyhow, and I'm going to praise God, and I'm going to praise God, and I'm going to praise God, and I'm going to praise God until I break through. Continuance of praise and prayer is the secret to breakthrough. Here's another lesson we learned from Acts, the 16th chapter, in praise under pressure. Continual praise under pressure will change you, and it will change others. See, that's what this Christian walk is all about. If all I have is enough finance just for me, that's called greed. If all I have is just enough oil for my lamp and I don't have anything to help anyone else, that's called selfishness, leanness of spirit. Everything that God has, God wants you to have enough of it for you and enough of it spilling over to help everyone that you come in contact with. The mentality of God is, angels, just give them enough grace to barely make it through the day. No, God wants to give us an abundance of faith, an abundance of hope, an abundance of love, an abundance of patience. Because when we continue to praise God, it not only affects us, it not only changes us, but what changes us changes others. Don't expect anybody around you to change until you change. I said, don't expect anyone else around you to change until you change. The longer you praise the Lord, the longer you worship God, the longer you lift up the name of the Lord, it changes you, and guess what? It changes others. Say, prove it, Pastor. I hope you said that because I'm going to answer that question. Because the Bible said the other prisoners heard them. I'm glad the other prisoners didn't hear some things that Christians say under pressure. Listen, neighbor, the walls of this world are very thin. The walls of the workplace are thin. This world is a very small world, and it's becoming smaller every day. Anything you say, out to the spirit world. And so there was more involved in this than Paul and Silas under pressure saying, we're going to praise God under pressure. They got so happy that the overflow of that touched the other prisoners, and the other prisoners heard them. Now, let me just say something that I've learned over a period of time. Parents, be careful what you say around your children, especially when you're not having a good day. When the pressure's on, don't ever let your children say that God doesn't, we just don't have enough money. You can tell them you're temporarily inconvenienced, that's okay. I was in Walmart or Albertson somewhere the other night, and there was a mother with a little girl, and she was wanting something. And she was not ugly about it, but she said, could we do this? And the mother and daddy both just said, you know we ain't got no money. We're poor folks. And I kept crossing the aisle with these folks. But couldn't we just a little something? And really the request was very small compared to what kids ask for today. And time again, those parents would say, we ain't got no money. We're poor folks. What you mean asking for something? Well, I tell you, I couldn't stand it any longer. I walked up after a while. I said, what does the child want? And they said, why did you do that? I said, because my father's not poor. And I had a chance to share a little testimony about the fact that God is a good God. And sure, we all face times of financial testing. But that little child obviously had a rough enough life ahead of it as it is. And I thought every day of that child's life, they'd say, we're poor folks. We can't afford nothing. We don't have no money. Seemed like they bought what they wanted to buy. And then a child grows up and he's got a poverty mentality and he's mad at the world. Probably gets him a gun, goes into some place to get him some money so he won't be poor no more. And then winds up serving time and the rest of his life being destroyed, except for the grace of God. Folks, I'll tell you one thing. We need to teach our children that we have a good God. And if things aren't going just like you think they ought to go around a church, don't you open your mouth to the contrary. Our children have told us time and time again when they'd find out about something after the fact, they'd say, why didn't you tell us? I said, there's no reason. No reason to increase your burden. There's no reason to put something else on your mind. Your mother and I, we had our faith on the line. We were handling it. We were praying about it. But I'm going to tell you, maybe I'm just meddling here for a few moments, but I've dealt with two or three things here lately. For God's sake and for your sake and for your children's sake, speak faith around your children. Speak positively around your children. Speak positively around your grandchildren. I mean, if there's things you don't agree with, don't put that on them. They can't handle it. Even if you're right, they still can't handle it. They'll grow up and get mad and leave church and get mad at God and everything else. Be like a lot of people I try to witness to. But oh, let's teach our children that we have a good God. And we may not have everything we want right now, but we have everything we need. And we may be temporarily inconvenienced, but everything's going to be all right. Because God brings his children out on top. Don't raise your children with a poverty mentality. Teach them, train them, show them that our God supplies our need. And if we'll be faithful in giving of our tithe to him. You said, you mean you teach children that? They don't have much money. I'm trying to tell you how to get some money into their hands. Well, that wasn't in the notes, but I guess the Spirit of God wanted that. You know, many times people blame things on the ministry and blame things on the church that we had nothing to do with. Build into your children, you're looking good. You can make it. You do wrong and you'll be punished. But we get that behind us and let's go forward. You're looking good. You can make it. Yes, we have discipline in this house, but it doesn't mean we don't love you. You do wrong, you suffer consequences. You do right and you get blessed. So let's go forward. Oh, I tell you, when we praise under pressure, it changes us and it changes others. I'll tell you, everywhere I go, I want something about my life to make somebody want to change for the better. Now, as I looked into this story, you know, continual praise will not only change you, it will change others. But going further, God desires to use your praise under pressure to not only change others, but to set others free. Their praise not only affected others, it set them free. The Bible said there was an earthquake. The doors were opened. And I'll tell you, the more we praise God, the more we're going to see God set people free. Naturally, we've been believing for miracles and victories and breakthroughs, and things are coming a little bit at a time. Things are getting better. We praise God for that. But God gave me a promise at 30,000 feet the other day. I was in an airplane, by the way. And I began to read in my Bible in Psalms, the 9th chapter. And you know, there's a part for us to do, and then there's a part that God's promised that He will do. Some of you need to get a hold of this. You know, we want the promises, but we don't want to give the praises. It said, I will praise Thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. Wonder how you praise the Lord with your whole heart. Let's try to find out how to do it. I will praise Thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. Well, you gripe with your whole heart. Why can't you praise with your whole heart? People fuss with their whole heart. People get all bent out of shape. Their face shows it. Their conversation reflects it. Their attitude, their body language, everything about them says, I'm mad. Well, why can't everything about us say, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart? Heart, do you understand? We're going to praise the Lord. I will praise Thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all Thy marvelous works. So I'm going to praise Him with all of my heart, and I'm going to show forth all of His marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in Thee. Being glad and rejoicing in Him starts like this. Not like that. I will be glad and rejoice in Thee. I will sing praise to Thy name. Just think, how many ways can I sing praises to His name? How many ways can I lift up praise to the name of Jesus? Honk your horn, play your tape, open your rapture hatch and wave at heaven. Do something as you drive down the road. Oh, thank God. I will sing praise to Thy name. You say, well, let's get on to God doing something for me. Let me tell you how you get God doing something for you. You start praising under pressure. You start praising when he or she or them or it doesn't understand what's going on. When the pressure's on, when you make the quality decision, I'm going to praise God. You start praising under pressure. And I believe the best praise is praise under pressure. It's all good, but I'll tell you, praise under pressure is pure gold, because it's faith. It's 100% faith. Don't see it, can't feel it, don't understand it, but in the name of Jesus, I'm going to praise God anyhow. I'm going to sing the high praises of God. I'm going to rejoice in my God. God's going to see me through. And just a little few little choice verses from the rest of Psalms chapter 9. For those that will praise the Lord with their whole heart, for those that will show forth all His marvelous works, for those that will be glad and rejoice in Him, for those that will sing praise to His name. He said, when our enemies are turned back, they shall fall. Oh, I believe the Amplified that said, our enemies are turned back. They shall fall and perish at Thy presence, for Thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Well, who's going to take up for me? You better hope God takes up for you. If you're depending on someone else to take up for you, you're in a world of hurt. But oh, thank God, if you did right and your faith is right and your love is right and your praise is right, just put it in God's hands. God's going to fix it for you. God's going to fix it for you. Oh my. Thou sat in the throne judging righteously. Oh, you have rebuked and destroyed the heathen, the wicked. Thou hast put out their names forever. Oh, enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end. I've been telling the devil that for several days. Devil, your destructions are come to a perpetual end. Oh, you say, what about today? I'm looking at the end. I'm not living just for today. I'm looking at the end of this thing. Oh, destructions, thou art come to a perpetual end. Oh, poverty, thou art come to a perpetual end. Oh, problems in the marriage are come to a perpetual end. Problems with your children are coming to a perpetual end. That most difficult thing that why God doesn't hear an answer right now, begin to rejoice. that destructions from the enemy are coming to a perpetual end. They're time element, time dated. They're memorial. I like that. That's a good word for Satan, his memorial. Their memorial, their memory is perished. But the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall be, I'm still in Psalms chapter 9 here. I'm talking about what praise will do. We started off, remember, praising him, showing forth his marvelous works, being glad and singing praise to his name. What happens to folks that praise the Lord? What happens to folks that praise God under pressure? They come through. The Lord shall be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. Oppressed. I want you to listen to Pastor Bob Nichols. Some people say, how come so many people come forward so often needing something? It's usually a good indication you ought to be coming forward getting some things taken care of. I believe with all of my heart, listen to me, people are coming to churches today carrying loads that are back-breaking, mind-boggling. Oppression, depression. Now I know, and I'm a champion to tell you that God can wipe it away. I mean, God will forgive it in a moment. But some people have trouble dealing with things that have happened to them in the past. Some people have a lot of problems. You know, it's kind of one of those things you never quite figure out about life. I mean, there's women running all over this city, bar hopping, trying to find another man. And then there's women, because they've been misused a time or maybe a couple of three times, they're bitter, they're sour, they're afraid. It's building up inside of them. There's a, whatever you want to call it, oppression, depression. They're afraid to go to bed at night. They're afraid to wake up. They're afraid because the experience that has happened to someone else that only increased their depravity is a grief and a running sore to someone else. And it's a painful memory. It's something they dream about. It's something that they handle, or they don't handle it very well in the way of fear. You see, thank God for the full gospel. We may be criticized. Someone said, well, we're high maintenance folks. No, we're get all of God we can folks. Isn't salvation the most marvelous thing that ever happened? You better know it, and I'll preach that till the day I leave this earth. But let me tell you something. God's full gospel is to help you get rid of all that excess baggage that if you hold on to it, it's going to destroy your mind, it's going to destroy your body, it's going to destroy your marriage. There's some young ladies that need to get rid of some baggage. Then you get married and you take the same baggage into your marriage, and some young men also. You don't resolve things that happen to you. But I tell you, there is an answer. There is an answer. Don't let the devil dog your steps. Don't let the devil torment your mind. Don't let the devil put that fear on you 24 hours a day. Folks, it's time to not only be filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with the word of promise, but it's time to shout it from the housetops. Thank God Almighty, I'm free. I'm free at last. I'm not the punching bag for Satan. We all have something that we'd give 1,000 worlds if it hadn't been said or if it hadn't happened. Maybe it was a night. Maybe it was a day. It could have been anything. You'd give anything if it hadn't happened. Or something didn't happen just like it did. And it doesn't have to be the worst. Don't let your mind run into the sewer about what I'm talking about. Television is filled with negativisms. The media is filled with filth and perversion. You can't even listen to a morning news broadcast without hearing filthy innuendos. But I tell you, God's called us to live righteous, think righteous, believe righteous, and don't put up with anything that Satan tries to put on your head, much less your heart. Even though people's sins are forgiven, it's the old saying, we have trouble forgiving ourselves. And Satan will catch you at low tide and put condemnation on you, and here we go again. Well, I thought brother so-and-so laid hands on me last week, last month, last year. He did. But you open the door and let Satan come in again. Stop opening the door. Stop opening the door. Stop answering the door. Someone gave me a plaque and said, Satan knocked on the door, but I sent Jesus to answer, and he left. Ha ha! So you've been used. A lot of people in this room have been used. So you've been abused. There's been a lot of folks here. You'd probably be surprised. You think you're the only one? No. The baggage that people carry around, the hurts, the bruises, the wounds. And you know, this is true of pastors too. I minister to a lot of pastors. I mean, there are things that can just devastate you when you've given your life for this thing. And responses can come back that if you let them, it'll make you bitter for the rest of your life. But Joe and I have made up our mind, we're not going to get bitter, we're going to get better. And I like something Lester Sumrall said, you can't hurt me unless I let you. Stop opening the door. When you look through the peephole and see Satan there and doubt and unbelief there and fear and unbelief and bondage, just send Jesus to answer the door and it will be taken care of. The Lord shall be a refuge for the oppressed. Your God is a refuge for the oppressed. Things that pastors and pastors' wives and those that deal with humanity know, things that would break your hearts in a million pieces if you could only understand. Somebody said, why does somebody act like that? Why do they do like that? Yeah, 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 yeah. When you might not realize that the person, they're doing good to be here. They're doing good to come to church. They're doing good to put their clothes on and come to church. They're doing good just to be here. Folks, we've got to start walking in love. Can't be judgmental. We've got to see through the eyes of Jesus.
I just don't understand why they...
It may be absolutely none of your business. Let me tell you something else. For God's sake, don't let unforgiveness get stored up in your heart. I've lived long enough and preached long enough. The thing you refuse to forgive, watch it. It's a monster that'll take over your house. I said the thing that you refuse to forgive. Well, I could forgive anything but that. Well, who do you think you are? You think you're the biggest catch that God ever found? You think you're the biggest prize that God ever stumbled over? People, we're all trophies of the grace of God. We're all trophies of the grace of God. And the thing that I love about a church like Calvary Cathedral International, thank God it's a safe harbor. Not perfect people, not a perfect pastor, not all of us are perfect, to be sure. But oh, thank God we have a perfect Lord. And there's a perfect grace, and there's a perfect love, and there's a perfect restoration that's available. Oh, for thou hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Prayers, keep on praying. See, the devil comes in, and the first thing he wants to do is shut your praise up and shut your prayer up and stop you from reading the Word of God, and all you're listening to is somebody else listening to the newscast, listening to some word of gossip from somebody else, and then you come in and you wonder why things are upside down. Some of you need to take a week's break from television and get your head back in the Word of God. Get yourself back into these morning prayer meetings. Spend some time and some quality time in the Word of God. For thou hast not forsaken them that seek thee. You know what that says to me? People that pray are going to make it. Oh, sing praises to the Lord. Declare, confess, testify among the people his doings. Thank you, Lord, I'll do that. Everywhere I go, I'm going to tell somebody, God's a good God. Declare his works. Sing his works. God does not forget the cry of the humble. Have mercy on me, O Lord. Consider my trouble. Thou that lifts up from the gates of death. I want you to know that God not only hears your prayer, God considers your trouble, and you may be at the gates of death, but God's here to pull you back from the gates of death. God's here to pull you back. I said the gates of death are not going to consume you. Thou that lifts up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all the praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion, I will rejoice in thy salvation. Well, let's finish up this praise under pressure. We said that midnight is the acid test of anything, especially praise and prayer. The continuance of praise and prayer is the secret to breakthrough. Continual praise will change you and it will change others. God desires to use your praise under pressure to set you and to set others free. It's impossible for God to set you free without that spilling over into someone else's life, see? Going further, praise under pressure Oh, glory to God, will change families. I said it will change families. The whole family, the jailer's entire family, was saved and baptized in water before the sun came up. Praise under pressure will change families. Praise under pressure will change cities. I said praise under pressure will change cities. Praise under pressure will change nations. Pray for America. Praise under pressure will change people, families, cities, and nations. Oh, two more. Praise under pressure turns on the light. Oh, in the midst of the darkness, the jailer said, bring me some light. It may be so dark when you begin to praise God, but watch it, the light's coming on. Used to hear a little gospel song years ago, I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. I tell you, praise under pressure will turn the lights on. Hey, praise under pressure will turn darkness to light. Praise under pressure will turn the lights on in your house, will turn the lights on in your spirit. Praise under pressure will turn the lights on in your mind. Praise under pressure will turn the lights on. Then he called for a light and sprang in. Oh, thank God, but there's one more. Praise under pressure will provide an atmosphere to set people free from harm. The suicide rate in Hungary, I don't even remember it. One of the highest suicide rates of any city in the world is in Budapest, Hungary. And over in the communist bloc nations, some of the highest rates of suicide anywhere. I mean, you look into their eyes, you don't see anybody smiling. I mean, I looked. And from the underground and going up on the long escalator ride, looking into a sea of faces, hopelessness, just that mask. But oh, thank God, listen to me. Praise under pressure will provide an atmosphere to set people free. You know what Paul said? That's the message of this church. The jailer, when he saw the earthquake and the jail doors were open, if the prisoners are gone, he might as well do it before they do it to him, according to the law of that day and time. So he pulls his sword, and he said, surely the prisoners are gone. And before he could thrust that sword in him, hear what Paul said, do thyself no harm. Do thyself no harm. That's the message of the gospel of Christ. You don't have to overdose. You don't have to pickle your brain with alcohol. You don't have to be addicted to any form of street drug, prescription drug, whatever kinds of drug. Do thyself no harm. Children, do yourself no harm. Moms and dads, do yourself no harm. Why? Because Jesus is in the prison. Because Paul and Silas decided to praise under pressure when their bodies did not feel like it. When their circulation was probably cut off because their feet and their hands were held. They really couldn't even lift up their hands. I mean, this all had to be from the heart. Because Paul and Silas said, regardless of what has happened to us, we make the quality decision, we're going to praise under pressure.
And what a blessing it is to greet you in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor Bob Nichols here, pastor of Calvary Cathedral International, 1600 West 5th Street, right here in downtown Fort Worth, where Jesus is Lord, the spirit of revival prevails. And we just have come through our great 35th anniversary as founders and pastors of this great church from 1964 to 1999. And the blessings just keep rolling in. We thank so many of you for your expressions and your kind expressions in cards, letters, and the various ways you responded to that. Well, that's a time to praise the Lord, and now we just keep going on to bigger and better and greater things. I want to remind you the Power Tower is here for you, 332-4284, over 152,000 prayer requests. Prayer goes on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Someone is there to take your prayer request, and yours might as well be the next answer to prayer. I want to remind you that this coming Sunday, Pastor Robert Kyanja from Kampala, Uganda, pastor of the great 10,000-seat church there in Kampala, Uganda, one of the most powerful ministers of the Word of God that I've ever heard in my life. This man is always a blessing when he comes to this church. Robert Kyanja, this coming Sunday, 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Don't miss either service. I'm telling you, it will be a spiritual feast. The message this week is a message that has profoundly touched my life. And I thank God that we can offer the message this week, Praise Under Pressure, from Acts chapter 16. You know, the most acid test of anything is at midnight on through those dark early hours of the morning. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 16, verse 25, that at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. This message is a real encourager. It's a real faith builder. It's tape offer 943. If you'll just write, we'll delight in sharing this tape with you and for you free of charge. Praise Under Pressure, Acts chapter 16, tape offer 943. I believe it's a must to just keep around to let it build your faith in God. So this week, we're going to be sharing this powerful message that we've already ministered from the pulpit here in Calvary Cathedral International. Let's go into that Sunday service as we were ministering from Acts chapter 16, verse 25, Praise Under Pressure.